ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Text 10. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada.
Kamasya nendriya pritir labho jiveja yavata jivasya tattva jignyasa narto yascheha karma vihi.
Translation again.
This is what devotees call one of those heavy verses. Heavy means gives a, not, I didn't say the commentary, the verse. It appears to be very heavy to us because it clearly points out what are the defects of conditioned life. It's only heavy if we are attached to that which we should not be attached to. For instance, if we say that stool stinks, we don't think that's a very outrageous statement. Or if we say that the sun is shining very brightly, we don't think, well, that's really heavy. It's simply a statement of fact, that's all. But when the fact impinges upon our desires for sense gratification, then we consider it very heavy. We only perceive it as heavy due to the false ego. Due to false ego, we always like to think we are right. We'll find even a mass murderer in the court, he'll defend his position. He'll think, I'm right. Mm-hmm. There's this ex-president of Serbia who's now been tried for the last many months in Den Haag for crimes against humanity. Uh-huh. What is his name? Milosevic, Slobodan, something like that. I was just
Slobodan Milosevic.
Is it? Okay. I'm the other one. So. And he's, it's quite clear that he was behind the slaughter of thousands of people. But he's arguing his position and he's convinced. So, Bhagavatam is a clear delineation of reality. Vedyam vastavam atravastu. This is the actual real, this is the actual reality as described in Veda. And dharma projita kaitava atra. Cheating religion is completely rejected here. So we would think that's good, isn't it? To find out what is reality, free from all cheating. But because of the conditioned propensity to cheat, we think this is too heavy. Bhagavatam, or the actual truth, can be appreciated by those who are paramo niyamatsarana satam, those who are on the topmost platform of spiritual life, mm-hmm. who are free from envy. Envy begins with envy of Krishna, expands to envy of all living beings, and even envy of one's own self, by which the conditioned soul perpetually acts and thinks in a manner that is detrimental to his actual welfare. Mm-hmm. He is apaswartha parayana. He is attached to that which is contradictory to his own benefit. Mm-hmm. His word is the artha, or that which is required or desirable. Sometimes that is called swartha, or more specifically, one's own personal interest. What is for one's own personal interest? Mm-hmm. This is often used for selfish personal interests. If someone is very selfish and money grubbing, always trying to exploit others, then we call, we say this person is a swarati in modern Hindi or whatever. But real swarat or self interest means to understand our vision.
But Nate vidu swarata gatin hi vishnum. They do not know that the real goal of one's own self-interest is Vishnu. So if we don't know what actual artha is, then we must remain on the platform of anartha. Anartha means that which is not in our own real interest. If we do not understand who we are, then we cannot understand what is our artha or our real self-interest. Therefore, spiritual life or the platform of reality begins with understanding that we are not the body, but that we are eternal spirit soul. We are eternal part and parcel of Krishna, and we are meant to serve Him. This is our actual self-interest. This is our natural or constitutional position. Not to understand this is anartha. We've many times heard this term, anartha. Anartha is that which hampers our spiritual advancement. So, on the progressive path from Shraddha, initial faith, to praying, love of Krishna, one has to cross over anartha. One has to come to the platform of anartha nivritti. The nature of the living being is to be attached. So if we're not attached to that, if we don't know who we are and we're not attached to serving Krishna, then we become attached to activities which are not for our benefit at all. Sometimes the term anartha, to give it more emphasis, is termed as apaswartha, or that which is opposite to our real self-interest. Opposite or a misconception of what is our real self-interest. So we find that people without knowledge of Krishna consciousness, they are engaged in what we consider to be anartha. Just like we may find if a young man or woman takes to Krishna consciousness, then they will not want to go to the movies, for instance. Is that a big culture, part of the culture here? People go to movies?
I don't
see so much, but... Is it?
Yeah.
It is, I don't see. A home video. Alright, home video. Not movies so much. People don't go to the movies, is it? At least you don't see advertisements for cinema. Alright, home movies. So, young person doesn't want to watch home movies all of a sudden because they want to be devoted. Mm-hmm. Their parents may become concerned, what happened? And they'll try to pressurize them, why don't you watch some movie? Isn't it? Is this a common scenario? Not sure. Yes? No?
Yes.
Yeah. Because the young person is thinking, this is anartha. In Nectar of Devotion, Prabhupada writes how people who take to Krishna consciousness, they're not interested in, he gives a whole list, one of them is going to cinema. But the parents are thinking, this is artha, and not to watch it is an anartha. So they are what is called apaswartha parayana. They are attached to that which is not, which may appear to be in their self-interest, but which isn't. The whole modern society can be described in this term, apaswartha parayana. But here, a completely different outlook is given. And it seems very heavy to us. Because if we accept it, we have to accept that everything that up to now we considered of value is not at all. It's just opposite. We have to admit that everything we considered right is wrong. All the persons we looked up to and idolized, they were wrong. And the bigger a role model they are, the bigger fool they are. I don't know what it is in Russian. So it requires great humility to accept this. And therefore we think very heavy. And from the platform of reality, it's just a statement of fact, that's all. The sun is shining.
Oh, it's really heavy.
No, it's just a fact, that's all. So people who are attached to sense gratification are fools. It's just a fact. So, how much are we attached to sense gratification? How much are we attached to sense gratification? That is the test. That is the nonsenseometer. How much are we fooled? The average person's nonsenseometer is up to 100 degrees. Oh. Uh-huh. 100%. And rascally. Because they don't know this simple fact that kamasya nendriya pritihi, the senses, or attachment to sense enjoyment, that is not the proper use of the application of desires. It doesn't make any sense to anyone who has no sense. People think, I have my tongue, I have to put something on it, quick. All the time, I have to be drinking tea, coffee, chewing some biscuits, taking some chocolate, smoking some cigarette. In India, they have pan also. Chewing gum.
It's an American style.
You're just not very advanced, that's all. You didn't get chewing gum here yet? I mean, in Aboriginal Chali, the people don't chew gum?
No.
50% of your life is wasted. Quick, phone up Uncle Sam. Tell him to send in one relief, emergency supply. Send one shitload of chewing gum. They don't even know what chewing gum is. They don't know. 75% of your life is wasted. Chewing gum is a kind of substance invented by probably someone in America, which get some flavor out of it, because the tongue should have constant titillation. So, tongue, belly, genitals, all the senses, they demand constant gratification. And we think, I just want to enjoy the senses.
That's interesting. Yeah.
You must have seen the dog when there's a bitch in heat. Bitch means female dog.
Mm-hmm.
And in heat means in the season for mating. So if there's the bitch or the female dog and the male dog and he's tied up and he's going crazy. All the animals, when one devotee was telling me that they had a cow and she was in season, normally very gentle cow, but they didn't want her to mate with just any bull, so they put her in a compound with a very high wall. And the wall was twice as high as the cow. She jumped over it. Out of desperation, I have to indulge my senses. So for a human being who has no idea of the actual goal of life, he thinks, I have to indulge my senses. But he doesn't know that human life is meant for controlling those desires. If we don't control those desires, then we have to become a cow or a dog and go on being whipped by these desires, life after life.
Mm-hmm.
But if we can control those desires, then we can start to come to the human platform, which begins atato brahma jignasa. Now we should inquire into the absolute truth.
generally Prabhupada, he translated this, now we have attained the human form of life, we should inquire into the Absolute Truth.
Very good.
But Shripad Madhvacharya, he, because this is Vedanta, so Vedanta begins after the Karmakanda section of the Vedas. So he states that this now, this means now we are fed up with the Karmakanda section of the Vedas. Now we are finished with the Purva Mimamsa, which is concerned with sense gratification. Now we'll come to Uttar Mimamsa, which is deliberation on the Absolute Truth, on the platform of knowledge. Because unless the fever of desire for sense gratification goes down, the inquiry to the Absolute Truth cannot go up. We can practically see in our own lives and in the lives of others who take to Krishna consciousness that when we or others become inclined to sense gratification, then immediately our commitment to Krishna consciousness goes down. Even we've read so many books, but it becomes covered. The knowledge that we have acquired becomes covered by the desire for sense gratification. Jnanamavritya dehinam, that is stated, that this karma, material desires, it covers the knowledge of the conditioned soul. So in Krishna consciousness, we have to develop attachment for Krishna and become detached from Krishnator, everything which is conceived of outside of a relationship with Krishna. In other words, become detached from material desires. Two things cannot sit in one place: material desires and spiritual desires. Without proper knowledge of who Krishna is, then in the factories of our minds, we convert Krishna into a product for our sense gratification. We cannot have Krishna on our terms. Surrender means we submit ourselves to Krishna like a sold-out animal. A purchased animal is at the mercy of the master. We cannot give terms and conditions. And we have to understand who Krishna is, as he is, on his own terms, as he describes in Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise, we can modify Krishna. And reshape him according to our sense gratificatory desires. But that is not Krishna. We see, I think many of these Indian movies of Krishna, they have probably been dubbed into with Russian subtitles. Mm-hmm. Is it? You've seen any of those movies? You cannot find Krishna from such pious sense gratificatory movies. Or you may like to read different books telling stories of Krishna. But Krishna can be found through the process of devotional service, received through the Annai Vani. Annai means the parampara of acharyas, the instructions of the acharyas received in parampara. But because we have this strong desire for sense gratification, that even when we are faced with the Absolute Truth, we try to convert him into some relative truth that we can digest for our sense gratification. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is the fate of all world religions. That great religious teachers, they come to teach people what is their actual necessity, what is their artha, their prayojan. But then other people come along, they take the teachings and they just adjust it a little bit. Just like original Christianity was a vegetarian sect. But a few hundred years into the development of Christianity, that changed. Because they thought, well, let's make it more available to everyone. There's not much difference. We believe in Jesus. We go to church. We recite the Bible. We make the sign of the cross. Do you do that? Do you do that in Russia?
Yeah.
Orthodox churches. We're very good Christians. All respects. Just, well, we mean that. And anyway, in the Bible, you see, you can interpret it this way. And you just change the Bible a little bit, not much. And you see, now thousands of people can take to it. Millions. The only problem is that it's no longer what Jesus taught. But, so it might appear very good. So many people are coming. That proves it's a success. Is it? Well, so many people come for football games also, isn't it? And that's got nothing to do with the absolute truth. So, we say, well, this is religion. How can you compare it to a football game? What is the similarity? Who can say? Between compromised religion and a football game. What's the similarity? Yeah, we got the answer. Sense gratification. And even in religion, they're promising, you will go to heaven, you will enjoy in future. But real religion means to teach how we are the servant. If one becomes servant of Krishna, one will naturally become very happy, because that is the natural constitutional position of the jiva. But if we put our own happiness first, then the happiness of Krishna consciousness will never arise. Bhukti, mukti, spriha, yavat, vishachi hridi vartate, tavat, bhakti sukhasya tra, katam abhyuta yoga ved. As long as the witch-like desires for sense gratification and liberation remain within the heart, then that long there is no question of the actual happiness of bhakti arising. So we have to be very careful about, even in preaching Krishna consciousness, we have to be very careful. In almost all cases, we begin our preaching with offering something to the person which we think will appeal to their sense gratification. Take this book, you will be happy. You can get free from suffering. Sure, you can get free from suffering by reading these books. But people desire free from suffering so that they can nicely go on enjoying sense gratification. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say that better than being healthy and not Krishna conscious is to be sick and Krishna conscious. Are you all ready for that? Yeah, okay. All right, well. Hand out the virus pills. We can inject everyone with a virus so you can all get influenza. Easy to say. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim. Easy to say. We actually feel like that. We have to see our own hearts. But at least this principle we should understand. We are not the enjoyer. We are not the enjoyer in the material world. Even in the spiritual world, we're not the enjoyer. Sometimes you find some religious persons performing great austerities, because they think, in the next world, I will enjoy more by doing so. So their withdrawal from sense gratification and acceptance of suffering is simply based on the desire for sense gratification. So, as Prabhupada comments in the purport here, the whole misdirected modern civilization is based on the principle of, let me enjoy my own senses. So just a little adjustment is required. The senses are not meant for my enjoyment, they're meant for Krishna's enjoyment. But it's such a revolutionary change that we think, oh, that's too much. Let me enjoy somewhat. Not knowing that this sense gratification is like poison that destroys Krishna consciousness. So we should always think how to satisfy Krishna senses. Why is that?
Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchati. Sarva Padivi Niramuktam Tatparatvena Niramalam Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchati.
Please get the translation. I presume on others.
Just these verses are very valuable to learn. They're the guiding principles of our lives. Without these guiding principles, we are sure to be lost in the world of sense gratification of Maya. So this change of heart can come about by regularly hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam and applying those directions in our lives.
Yehi samsparsha ja bhoga duha yonya divate adyanta vanta konta yatna teshu ramate buddha.
No, this verse, yeah. Okay, let's get the translation.
So let us all internalize all these instructions. Ourselves become attached only to Krishna. And attached ourselves, we should be attached to Krishna and detached from that which is against our real self-interest. And also for the benefit of human society, which is totally misdirected, we have to give this knowledge by which our suffering fellow jivas can be delivered. So we have the books. We have two hands, two legs, one arm, and a trunk to hold it all together. So, door to door, distributing books, giving people this knowledge. This one devotee here today, Chaitanya Singh, is from Vladimir. He's every month distributing 300 and something books. Very steady, door to door. Knocked on every door in the town twice now. In Vladimir has distributed 7,000 books.
Very much.
Lost the sound when it was said.
Yeah.
Can you say it again?
Overall.
At 300 and something per month, every month, very steady. And total, after several years, is 7,000. So, how many books have been distributed in Navarishni Chalmi? Have all the doors been knocked on, even once? Chibuk Sara? Oh, he's going to go down again now. His head is popping up. See what you can do to help your fellow citizens. Devotees here from many places, Tambov, Morshansk, Borodvor, Kazan, Smolensk, Kirov, Moscow. You have to go to every door in Moscow. Wish you a long life. Because even if you knock on all the doors, by the time you finish, they'll already build 1 million more homes. We need a whole army for Moscow. Instead of the Red Army, we can have the Saffron Army. But not actually, if we only rely on the Brahmacharis, then there's no hope, because Brahmacharis, they're always going from the Saffron Army to the White Army. So we have to send out the White Army and the Multicolored Army, the ladies in saris. Take these books. Where's the Russian edition? As soon as people see a book like this, they understand. This is different to any other book that they ever saw in their life. Isn't it? It's completely different to Tolstoy or Dostoevsky or whatever. Who is that person standing there? And there's some girl with a long dress. I never saw any dress like that before. You open up the book and it's got all these funny squiggles. You start to read it and it has words like what is this? I can't read it. This
Shri?
Yeah.
Balaram.
No, no, Hayagriva.
Shri Hayagriva. Then Hari, Hamsa. And what's this one? Prishnigarbha. Then Vishnu. And they can't work it out. It's written in Cyrillic script, but it doesn't seem to be Russian. They can immediately understand this is something completely different. If you go door to door selling something for sense gratification, should be some good chance that you can make some sales. Just like many of our devotees, they sell paintings or prasadam, people like to buy because it tastes nice. And they open up this strange book and says, to give up sense gratification, how are you going to sell such books? You can only do so by the spiritual energy which is coming from Krishna through parampara. If one has the very strong desire to do so, considering that people need these books, then he will be empowered by Krishna to do so. It's practically impossible to sell these books. It's not possible by any material means. Prabhupada, the first books he had printed in for distribution in America were Krishna books, big books. Very beautiful, very first-class production, printed in Japan, 10,000 copies. In that time, devotees, they used to distribute this Back to Godhead magazine. They were doing Harinama in the streets, and people would give some donation, they'd give them Back to Godhead. So 10,000 books came, and in each temple, each devotee took one, and in this way, about a few hundred books got distributed to the devotees only, and that was it, finished. And there was no more distribution after that. And devotees had no idea, what are we supposed to do with these books? We just leave them in the basement, that's all. Prabhupada said, you have to distribute these books. And the devotees thought, what's he talking about? How can you distribute these books? People are not interested. Prabhupada became more and more insistent, you have to distribute these books. Eventually he said, if you don't distribute these books, I'm going back to India. Yeah. And devotees understood we have to distribute these books. They still had no idea how we're going to distribute these books. So eventually one devotee, Buddhimanta, he went out with some books and went door to door. And when people would open the door, he would fall down on the ground and hold onto their feet and beg them to buy the book. It was unusual, but it worked. There's so many wonderful stories of Buddhimanta Prabhu. In those days, no one hardly knew about devotees. And so then people would open the door, and all of a sudden there's this Buddhimanta. He's a huge guy, like more than 2 meters tall, big strong guy, with a shaved head and this on his nose, dressed in orange. They never imagined such a thing before. So there's stories that he knocked on one door, and a woman opened it and screamed and called for her husband, quick, bring the gun! Said, no, I just want to give you this book, that's all. What for? He said, well, I'm a monk and this is about Krishna, the Supreme Personality. He said, oh, it's okay, no problem. How much? $10? Okay. So many wonderful stories. Who was that telling that? Actually, you can tell. You tell. Devotees, you're distributing books. Come on, tell us. Tell us some of your experiences. So many wonderful things are happening. Then you have to translate for me only.
It was very, very crowded. And I lost my hearing and power, and also I couldn't speak.
Why? Because there was so much crush from the people? Or?
I distributed Prabhupada Narmita from Goswami, and finally one person. If you remember, Prabhupada. The painting of Prabhupada was really beautiful. And finally, one person who looked
at me. Please, he's chewing this. This kavacha, he's chewing it?
Это кавача, да? Не трогай его.
Не надо, сэр.
Не надо, жевать. Это
прасад.
Прасад.
Это 10
минут.
Please be a little patient.
Finally, the person, he took one book and his own, he looks like, he was looking like an intelligent person. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. First word I said, this is about Krishna.
Yeah. That's all what I...
That's all he said.
Yeah. And I began to explain who that person was. And I told him that this is a founder of Hare Krishna movement, Chirutana Prabhupada. And just after that, he gave me some donations, and he didn't say anything.
Jai!
He was very much tired.
Yeah. There's so many stories. I remember reading one devotee, she was distributing in a parking lot in America, a place where people park their cars. So one man, he took a book, gave a donation, he walked another 10 meters to his car and fell down dead with a heart attack. So that's good. The last thing he did in his life was buy one of Prabhupada's books. What's this question? Guru Maharaja. That I can read.
Devon Maharaj should also distribute books on Srila Prabhupada. Can you tell about this? Can you tell us about something about this?
My distribution?
Maybe.
Well, nowadays I mostly do it by announcement. Oh yeah, read the question. Nowadays I mostly do it by announcement that we have a program, give a lecture, and then people buy books. Recently, at the last day of our festival in Croatia, they brought so many of Prabhupada's books, and they were still not sold. So I told that none of you are allowed to leave here without taking a big stack of Prabhupada's books.
You said to people.
Yeah, all the devotees there. And even if you have them, take some more. So this way I sold 200 Srimad Bhagavatams in 15 minutes.
Hare
And Manidhar Prabhu, who's distributed hundreds and thousands of books, was sitting next to me. And he said only a sannyasi can do that. So that new 8th canto came out. You should get some more from Moscow, and then you could, wherever you go, you can distribute. Okay. How many of you have a full set of Bhagavatam in your home, at least as far as it's printed? They didn't receive the latest volumes. Okay, fill your home up with books. If you like, if people invite you into their home, you can tell them we'll swap with you. You give us all your books, empty your bookshelf, and we'll fill it up with Prabhupada's books. You also have to give us some money for the books. Several times I went in people's homes in India and confiscated all their bogus books. What are you going to do with it? They got like Vivekananda books and this. What are you going to do with it? You say, don't worry, I'll look after it. What's another question? Oh, two questions.
Guru Maharaj, what's the cause of sexual desire, improper behavior, and if it is so, what kind of improper behavior is a source of sexual
desire? The root desire is lack of desire to serve Krishna. The root desire is lack of desire to serve Krishna. To understand this subject in detail, we should study Bhagavad Gita. Especially at the end of the third chapter, this is discussed in some detail. That book, Brahmacharya in Krishna Conscious, also has many relevant quotes about proper behavior. Not acting appropriately, it doesn't cause sex desire, but it exacerbates it. Increases. Another question. Okay, you can prepare this one. Take away the right hand. Right hand, right hand.
Right.
You never heard this before?
Oh.
It's input this.
Yeah, what does he say?
Raj, please explain how we can combine duty and relationship. Duty and the relationship of love in the family, how we can balance. This in Shastra it is prescribed that we should not be attached to each other, but then will not our relationship become formal without any affection.
Okay, second question. Husband and wife in Krishna consciousness unite to serve Krishna, and so the affection they have for each other is much more real and more deep than that of non-devotee households. I suggest to ask this question, they can approach some more senior Grihastha devotees. Especially, usually every year Gauri here gives some seminar on this subject. I don't know if there's any time for seminar now, but you can approach her individually.
You mentioned in your lecture that our original envious towards Krishna finally comes to the envious, can finally converts to the envious towards ourselves. And what is the how it is possible? Can you describe
how it is possible?
Okay.
Doesn't seem like it would be possible, would it? We'd be envious of ourselves. But actually it should be more surprising that we're envious of Krishna, because Krishna should be more dear to us than our very selves. It is inconceivably foolish misuse of independence. But that people are envious of themselves is apparent in their activities. Nunam pramata kurute vikarma yad indriya pritya apinoti na sadhu manya yat atmanoyam asanna pi kleshada asadeha. You know this verse?
Кто знает перевод?
Like to give the translation? Who can give the translation? You here? Is everyone here? So, everyone is performing activities which causes them to suffer in the future. Hare Krishna. All glories.